Welcome to Hope Is Here. My name is Greg Horn. We're continuing our conversation this week with Tim McAlpin. He is the author of a book called The River of the Lord, A Path Through Suffering. I've been reading this book and really, really has encouraged me and yet also challenged me as a follower of Jesus. And man, this new year, a lot of people set resolutions, and one of them may be, hey, you know, I want to grow in my relationship with God. And I promise you, if you read this book, you will grow in your faith, because Tim just, he lays it out there, and he talks the talk, but he walks the walk. You need to find out his story about losing his dad at the age of 12, then tragically losing his son 10 years ago on New Year's Eve in 2008. And so go back to our podcast and go listen at your convenience, hopeishere.today. That's hopeishere.today. Also, you can find out more about Tim's story at theriveroftheLord.com. But, you know, Tim, you talked in the book about having peace and hope, and you said that on our path to peace, we should reject the wisdom of the world and begin to apply God's wisdom, which is completely the opposite of the world's. In fact, it's upside down and inside out. So we may experience ridicule often when we do this, but we have to learn to turn a deaf ear to what the world says and follow God's ways. God's ways must become our roadmap. And that's not easy to do, is it? Because it's not the world's ways, and we're bombarded by the world's ways.
That's exactly right. You know, we're trained from early age in the world. We're in grade school. We get pushed, we push back. You know, somebody swings at us, we swing back. If we're down, we're depressed. You know, if we're depressed, we're distraught. But God doesn't want that. He doesn't want that for us. And so we have to reject that. We have to reject being depressed, and we have to reject being in a place when we go through suffering like the loss of a loved one, that there isn't hope. Of course there's hope. The Bible says for us not to grieve as though we don't have hope, because we do have hope. And so, yeah, and I love that what you said about being inside, or maybe that's what I wrote in there, about being upside down and inside out. Because that's the way it is with God. God's ways are upside down and inside out of what the world's ways are. So when we plug into God and we go, see, the world says when you've had something awful happen to you, man, you need to get down on that. That's what makes alcoholics. That's what makes drug addicts. That's what makes the pharmacy be able to sell so many antidepressants. But that's not what God wants. God wants us to be able to have hope in the middle of our fiery trial, in the middle of our suffering. And when we look to God, instead of looking to where the world looks at the wrong things to sustain them, and therefore they have no hope. But when we look at God and we plug into Him and we get His sustainment, that gives us the strength and the wisdom to apply these things in our lives. God's wisdom is available to us. God's sustainment and power, they're available to us. We have to choose to grasp those things to hang on to.
And a lot of times you have to do that with tears running down your cheeks, and you have to fight through the feelings of hurting and pain. It doesn't mean they're not real, but you have to choose God even through the suffering. You had a personal story that you wanted to share about peace.
Well, that's right. You talk about, and then, along with all this other is to allow God to use you to help other people during your white hot heat of grief. You know, that's when you can be the most effective, is because, who wants to hear from a fella? If somebody comes in and they want to tell you how to do something, the first thing you want to know is, what have they done? So if you're going to go witness or be an encouragement to somebody, that somebody wants to know you've been down the road too. You didn't just swing in there and life's rosy and everything's going good for you, Well, one of my favorite stories is I didn't leave my office during the day for many, many months. And one day I said, and so we have a real estate title company and we have a real estate investment company. And, I grew up basically running titles, doing title work. And periodically, get out of the office, I'd get two or three files and go to Richmond or somewhere, and people I know stop and see him, kind of make a day out of it and run a few titles. But I hadn't done that in a long time, and I felt peace being in the office, and the presence of God was with me every day, and I felt such comfort. I know Jay went out of his way talking to God. Jay could really talk you into something. And I know the first thing Jay did is went up to God and says, God, I never wanted this to happen. We got to take care of my dad. And I'm sure God said, Jay, I'm already on that. You watch what I'm doing, and all the little stories in the book about how God, the little stories that God let me know he was with me. But this one day I went over to Richmond. And incidentally, there's a little cafe over there where these older women make a really good, you know, home-cooked meal, and I wanted to eat there. And so I knocked around a little bit, and I went down the street, and I went in this old line men's store, you know, like back in the day, you know, mm-hmm. where they had hats and the round pants. It's not a department store. It's one of those old line men's stores. And my dad had one of those when I was a kid I used to work in, and it just brought back a lot of memories. So I looked around and actually bought a couple of things, and this older man was waiting on me. And so what did I do? I did what I love to do. I began to talk to him about Jesus. I began to talk to him about God. And I said, hey, you know what? Let me tell you what I've been through. My son was killed. I can't believe it. I never thought anything like that would ever happen to me. My dad was killed when I was 12, and I thought, well, I've paid my dues, buddy. It'll be easy for me from now on. I went through that terrible thing. Little did I know that the hardest thing, my biggest hurdle, was still yet to come. And I said, so here, you know, I'm on the throes of this, but I said, man, I got to tell you that God has been with me. He's been so faithful to me. I want to get up on the hood of that car out there and just yell and tell everybody how faithful God is. I told my grandson Cameron that one day at the mall. He said, well, don't do it, Poppy. Don't do it. And I said, but that's how I feel. I feel like if I don't tell others how good God is, I'm going to bust inside, because he's been so faithful to me. So I just begin to really let it all out with this guy, you know, this older man. Tell him how faithful God was, how much I loved him. Though it was a terrible thing and it was an awful thing, wow, I just never dreamed how faithful God could be. And I said, I pull into my garage some days and I fall to my knees before I can get to the door of my house to say, God, thank you for another day of your faithfulness. I'm charged with your power. I'm charged with your power of sustainment. And I just want to thank you for that, God, because I thought it was all over for me, only to see, God, that you've got more power than I ever dreamed that you had. So I went on and I went on, and I was getting ready to leave, and I said, well, thank you for listening to my story. I love to tell it. And I was getting ready to leave. He said, whoa, he said, just a minute, sir. He said, I need you to come back here a minute. And I walked back, and he had tears in his eyes. And I didn't know why. And I thought, well, I hope I, you know, hadn't offended him or something. But I didn't care. I wanted to tell my story, you know. I don't care if it offends people. I just care about doing what God wants me to do. But he said, you know, I got to tell you something. He said, it's no accident that you came in here today. And I said, well, what do you mean? And he says, well, what I mean is, he says, my son is over here in Patty A. Clay Hospital, and he's only got days to live. He has got cancer, and he is in his last stages. In fact, when I close this store, I go every night and stay with him. And he says, I have been so despondent and so depressed over this, knowing that my son is going to die. But he said, to hear your story and to hear such hope and to hear such faith, he says, I am going to make it. And he said, it's all because you shared your story with me. And he says, I can't tell you how grateful I am that you did that. And see, we never know what our story. So God gives us a story to tell. So don't waste your sorrows. Get out there and tell people how faithful God is. And for those of you who can't find this, that are going through a suffering, and going through trials and you can't get to that place, you ask God to help you and you ask Him to show you the way and to light your path, and you get close with Him and you only look to Him. Don't look at any other person or any other thing. And He will manifest Himself and His power of sustainment in your life too.
Well, I thought you so eloquently said, Tim, in your book, you said, from the pathways of pain and suffering, a message is delivered to us. There is hope. My message is that God has a plan and a purpose for each trial and failure, each pain and heartache we suffer along the short pathway of this life. There is hope for you, and what appears as hopelessness will turn into some of your greatest blessings in life if you will follow that river and allow God time to bring you through. And sometimes it just takes time, doesn't it?
You know, that's the key right there, time. You know, in the white hot heat of something awful, a catastrophic event, you know, your first instincts are to withdraw and to go into the pre-programmed, it's humanity, you know, of being despondent and fearful. But there is hope. There is hope when you walk with the Lord. And if you look to Him, and, you know, like my wife said, go see a grief counselor. I said, I don't want to see a grief counselor. Well, what happened to me down at my farm when God said, notice my trees, notice my blue skies? Well, while that might have seemed like words to you, it was life-changing for me. Because, so I didn't get on the path of the world on the grief counselor. And what grief counselor could have done what God did for me that day when He showed up and the Holy Spirit fell on me? No grief counselor can do that. So look to God. He will see you through. He's in the life-changing business. He's good at what He does.
Well, and I think that's a word for somebody. I've done counseling, and you know, there's nothing wrong with that. But at the same time, there comes a point where you just have to decide, okay, that hurt, but I'm going to trust God with it. And sometimes it may be okay to go back and visit there, but it's one of my mom's friends in London, Kentucky, used to say, you know, it's okay to visit there, but don't set up camp there.
Good point.
The other thing you said here, and I thought was really good, you talked about in your book a couple of different times, is about having to focus. You expand right on that a little bit.
Well, focus, that means that focus and perspective, two keys. Get your perspective straight. What is your perspective? Your perspective is that God is all-powerful, faithful, and true, and He loves you. Get that perspective straight, and then focus on that. And don't let the cares of the world scare you into losing that hope. And then is when you'll start to see things going in your favor. Plug into God. He wants you to do that. And He's in the life-changing business. He's in the life-rebuilding business. He's good at what He does.
Amen, He is. I loved in the last page of chapter 5 you talked about, you said, you know, our lives are going to have struggles and challenges, and often we will be shaken to our core. But God promises to be with us through these times. If we stop fighting and blaming God, we will be in a place where God can teach us valuable things that have eternal benefits for us, brought into our path to show us the way. And man, that just really resonated with me. Instead of maybe asking, you know, why God, maybe asking what.
Exactly. And it goes back to the same theme. When you're thinking of deliverance, God is thinking of development. Let God use your sufferings to develop you into that strong, mighty warrior, the soul He's building for eternity. And He will do that for you.
Well, that's going to wrap up today's program. We've been talking with author Tim McAlpin of The River of the Lord, A Path Through Suffering. I want to encourage you to check out his website, theriveroftheLord.com. Tune in with us tomorrow, so he'll be back with us again. My name is Greg Horn, and this is Hope Is Here.